If it's creepy and it's freaky, it's on hashtag Creaky, a podcast about the paranormal and unexplained. And here are your hosts, Megan and Brooks.
Thank you, disembodied voice, for that amazing introduction. As always.
Always nice.
And we're back again.
For another episode.
Yeah.
In a row.
Like we talked about on the last episode, we do want to talk about our camping experience in Uwari National Forest, which is in North Carolina. And we kind of went on a Bigfoot hunt, wouldn't you say?
I'd probably say Bigfoot hunt / paranormal investigation.
Yeah. Well, I think we were looking for anything. We brought your spirit box. Mm. We had some crazy experiences there. And then we went looking for a graveyard, which we did not find, but we do know where it is. Mm. It was just a Quaker graveyard, so they don't
It does have no headstones.
Yeah, they don't. They just have stones, but there's no markings on them, which makes it a lot harder to find, apparently. And then at night, we heard some things.
Yes, we did. So it's actually our second time camping there, at least for me.
Right. Yeah. My first.
And, technically, I guess it was my third time camping there, because I actually went camping there for my bachelor party.
Ah.
And then the second time we went with our other sister, Jessie, and her husband, and had a small experience there that time.
Right.
Which I believe I told you about that. It was like really the only thing that happened there that kind of, made me think like something kind of odd going on here. And that was really early in the morning, probably about 2-3 in the morning, somewhere around there.
Oh, with your experience with Jessie, our sister.
Yes. So this is probably what led to me kind of pushing for that location, just because this one little odd occurrence. Me and my wife were, in the tent and laying down, and I think I woke up and heard what sounded like, my wife woke up too, because we heard what sounded like some movement from behind the tent. It sounded like maybe an animal, something, small moving around, or maybe a deer or something. But then it started to oddly sound like footsteps.
Like then, bipedal, you would say?
Yes, like a very bipedal, like very recognizable as a person almost. And it sounded like they walked right in between our tent and our sister and her husband's tent and right into our camp. And so I, of course, get up and throw my boots on, and my wife kind of like grabs me, like just the whole like the movie us grab my arm and says, "Don't go out there."
Right.
And I told her I started going with Rebecca. I was like, there could be someone out there messing with our stuff.
Yeah.
And I
being
just,
the man.
And I'm the, being the man. I grab all Kramer's pup is up and moving now, our big dog. And because he heard it too. I open up the flap, come out with a light, hit the light around the camp, nothing.
Nothing's been moved around.
Nothing's been moved around. There's nothing in camp. And we clearly heard what sounded like footsteps go in between the tents into the camp, and then nothing left. There's no footsteps walking away. There was no rustling. There was no running away. Nothing like that. So very odd. The embers on the fire were still going. So I, threw some wood on there, tended to it, got back up and running again. And of course couldn't sleep. So my wife came out and we just got breakfast going.
Yeah.
But that was the odd experience there that kind of led me think like, hey, this would probably be a good place to come and investigate.
And Jessie and her husband heard nothing. They were asleep, dead asleep.
Well, no, I say that one instance, but we actually used the spirit box there. That was, I think, one of the first times I actually used it. And I honestly can't remember, because it's been a couple years ago, if we used it before that incident or after the incident of the sound of someone walking into camp.
Yeah.
Because we didn't use it long. It kind of freaked out my wife a little bit. She wasn't a fan of it. She did better this previous time because she was there with me and you, during our camping trip.
Yeah.
But it was very dark. We were sitting around the fire one night and I start using the spirit box. And then we weren't really getting anything, definitely nothing like me and you got when we were there.
Right.
But we're sitting there using it. And I believe Jesse's husband says, you know, we heard something while we're trying to talk to you know, any spirits or anything around the area. Mm-hmm. And we hear it say, I want to say spooky. It was like spooky or scary or something to that extent.
Yeah.
I heard it and Jesse's husband heard it. And as soon as we pointed that out, Kramer, our dog, stood up and just started growling while staring into the dark behind us.
Ooh, creaky. Yeah.
So my wife and then we're quick to say, maybe we should stop.
Yeah. Especially since you can't see.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what my wife said, especially as the spirit box is so loud. So not only can you not see directly behind you because it's really dark out there, you know, the fire only puts out so much light around you.
Right.
So not only can you not see around you, but when that spirit box is going and it's going real loud, you can't hear if anything's coming up on you.
And the campsite that y'all stayed at is the same one that we stayed at.
It is the exact same one. I think we arrived pretty late the first night and had to find the same campsite in the dark. But luckily, the little fire pit we had set up previously that previous year was still there.
Yeah.
And kind of worked as a marker for us to like, oh, this is where we set camp up last time.
Yeah, it was. It was like pitch black when we set up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we raced down there to try and beat the beat sunset, but
it got us.
It did. It got us. So we had to try and find camp in the dark, which was creaky all in itself.
It really was. And
walking around the dark woods with little headlamps on
to kind of give people a visual. So about how far, we parked at the trailhead and then we got on the trail. So how far into the trail do you think it was before we like took a left?
The trailhead itself, we actually, because remember we had to drive down that pretty long dirt road that got pretty rough. There was like big potholes and.
Yeah, it was rough.
It's a pretty rough trailhead.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to drive pretty far down to get there. And I would say, like, how far would that be from the main road, that trail itself?
I would say at least maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles, would you say?
Yeah, it was pretty it was pretty deep in there.
Yeah.
So that's already that far. Then we probably walked. Now, the walk itself, I would say maybe half a mile.
Yeah, around half a mile. That's what I was going to say. And then off of the trail. It's kind of hard to tell.
It is. We went off the trail.
And then off of the trail, how far off of the trail were we to the campsite? Would you say like 200 yards?
Yeah, because we could still see, like, if we heard talking, we could actually still look through the trees and see, you know, if people were walking on the trail or not.
Yeah.
Because I know I still like to keep eye on the trail and see if anyone's coming off the trail towards our camp.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was pretty flat from the trail to our campsite. There was some hills like down.
Yeah. Yeah. Down further. If you went past our camp, like if you were walking away from the trail and going past our camp, and then it started getting like really like, like pretty much trenches, like it looked like almost like it was like dried up creek beds almost.
Yeah. But
like they've been dried up like a long time.
Right. Yeah.
Because it was like that kind of like real like ditches and hills.
I just want to give people an idea how far into the woods we were. Mm-hmm. It was pretty far. And when we went, it was October. So, you know, the leaves were, you know, falling off the trees. So it was pretty bare. So it was easier for us to see people walking on the trail from our campsite.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still, I mean, it was, I wouldn't say like really thick, but it was, I mean, there was tons of trees around us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there wasn't very many people camping close to us. Most of the people for some reason or whatever were camping really close to the trailhead.
Yeah, well there's like community camping areas right there at the trailhead. Yeah. Where they have like the bonfire areas with like these like stone seating, like almost like stone benches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, you know, large groups can camp and it's easy enough for them just kind of pull up to it and pull out their stuff and, you know, have a good time.
Yeah. They're not doing investigations, like hardcore investigations like us.
Yeah, there's definitely no other campers out there that we could see from our campsite or even hear from our campsite that were like in the immediate area. Like it was just us out in the middle of the woods.
the only time we really ran into people were either at the trailhead or walking on the trail.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anybody we asked on the trail had no idea about this graveyard we talked about earlier either.
Yeah, we asked a few people about this graveyard. I think that was when we finally found the few people was a couple.
Yeah.
They knew about it.
They knew about the plantation that was near the graveyard that I had read about. So they told us where the plantation was, but by the time we got turned around to go back, it was starting to get dark. Is that right? Or we were tired because we had to set up camp in the middle of the night, basically. And then the next day we went looking for this graveyard.
Well, yeah, because the idea was that we were going to leave, you know, one, I don't really like leaving stuff at camp without someone, at least someone being there to watch our stuff.
Right.
So the idea was that we were all three just going to, you know, head down the trail, check out this graveyard, do a couple of shoots and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
But then it started proving to be a little more difficult. And I think it was getting a little bit later. We're a little bit tired. And I wasn't really willing to leave the camp unattended for like that much longer.
Right. And I do think it's important to note that when we got to the fork in the road or the fork in the trail, I said that we should go left and I was outvoted. And if we had have gone left, we would have hit it.
But it's going to still be a while though.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been
not as long as it took because we were right. I mean, I told my wife we should go left.
Oh,
she was like, you better vote with me. I was like,
okay. Yeah, you got to do what the wife says.
Yeah, I got to do what the wife says. So. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. We'll go with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. But so we get there. It's Friday night. We set up camp and, you know, we don't go to bed right away. We decide to stay up. We have our fire going. We eat some snacks. Mm-hmm. The first, I wouldn't say paranormal experience, but the first thing we heard was a goose. Right.
Yeah, the low flying goose over the top of the trees.
It was very low and very loud with its honking. And that was kind of creepy. I mean, just one goose, you know?
Yeah.
Probably looking for its flock.
Probably like they all like maybe stopped, took a nap and then left and just kept hitting the snooze or something. I don't know.
So that kind of, I wouldn't say it creeped us out, but it made us notice sounds a little bit more too, right. At least me.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to though. I mean, once you get out there, it's very quiet. So every little thing, you know, and that especially, I mean, that thing was low flying. It was pretty close to the top of the trees and it was honking pretty loud.
Right. Well, eventually we decided to go ahead and go to sleep because we were going to get up. We were going to, you know, hit the trail, find this graveyard the next day, and we wanted to get some sleep. And I want to say we both got into our tents and kind of got comfortable, and it wasn't that long.
No, it wasn't.
We heard a sound.
We did.
I thought it was you. You thought it was me.
And it was, and my wife thought it was you.
Yeah.
And I immediately knew that it wasn't because I was the one who first yelled out and asked. Because it would sound like a pop, like it sounded like there was a tree in between our tents.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded almost, at first I thought maybe it was something missing with the trash. Because I didn't know it was in between us. You know, we had hung up, we tied our trash and hung it up. And there was some cans in there. So it almost sounded like a tin can popping.
Yeah.
To me.
It was a very odd sound.
Yeah, it was a very almost metallic, you know, aluminum. Like something I always stuck in my head that it was a can. So as soon as it happened, you know, I looked at my wife and she was like, "That's Megan." And I was like, "That wasn't Megan." And I remember I yelled to you. I said, "Hey, was that you?" And you said, "No, it wasn't you." I said, "No." And we both like opened up the little flaps in our tent and our flashlights looking out and around because once again, you know, it's pretty late. You know, we got there late. We set up and got settled in before we actually turned in.
I would say it was about maybe 1 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And you and I don't know if your wife decided to stay up, but you and I decided to stay up a little bit longer.
I think we all did. We were all kind of freaked out because that's when we found out, like I said, you know, oh, it sounded like it came from the trash. And you were like, no, it came from the direction of y'all's tent. And I was like, it came from the direction of your tent. Like I thought it was on the other side of your tent where the trash was. Mm-mm. But it turned out it was right in between us.
Yeah. So didn't want to go right to sleep then. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we were awake.
Yeah. So we get up and decide to build the fire up a little bit and kind of just listen. And we started hearing some other stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting how that stuff was happening kind of back to back.
Yeah. And I want to say it all happened around 2 o'clock in the morning, the mm-hmm. first night, and eventually the second night, but the first night we'll talk about now. How would you describe it?
It was a very long, very loud, drawn out yell.
Mm-hmm. Didn't really sound human, but couldn't pinpoint an animal that I'd ever heard that sounded like that. It wasn't a coyote or anything.
No, because I went previously camping with a couple buddies of mine, and they heard some noises in the wood, which I, of course, quickly identified as, you know, coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were worried that it was like wolves or something. I was like, no, those are coyotes. You know, we grew up out in the country. We heard them outside all the time.
Yep.
You know, we know the sound of coyotes.
Exactly. This was not it. And usually you don't hear just one coyote. You hear mm-hmm. multiple ones.
Yeah. One will start in and then you'll hear the rest.
Yeah.
Like start chiming in.
Mm-hmm.
But this almost sounded like someone imitating a Bigfoot by doing a Bigfoot yell. Like almost very like, have you ever seen the movie Harry and the Hendersons?
Yeah.
Something like that.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Exactly.
But the following night, we decided to do some Bigfoot yells around the same time to see if we can get a reaction, which unfortunately we didn't. But while we were doing the yells, it dawned on me and I realized, I was like, that was really, what we heard last night was really long and really drawn out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know anyone that could have the lung capacity to do a yell that loud and hold that same, like that same tone for that long of time.
Right. And from where the sound was coming from, it was definitely deeper in the woods, not towards the trail.
And in the more rougher terrain that we talked about, where it gets real hilly and lots of ditches. And
yeah. And we heard knocks too, did we not?
Mm-hmm. Very loud knocks from different directions.
Right. It was very creaky, mm-hmm. to say the least. But you know, it stopped and we didn't hear anything else, and we decided to go to sleep that night. Like I said, this is the first night, mm-hmm. but we were ready the second night. we knew about the same time it happened again, but this time it was multiple. Am I right?
And there were some different ones. So
yeah.
One, we did a spirit box session, which we'll go back to that, because I want to talk about just the weird anomalies we heard out there in the woods. And, you know, of course, if anyone else has experienced sounds like this or experiences like this, definitely let us know. But we heard what sounded like, at first sounded like cows.
Yeah,
it like was. Like mooing in the distance or making noise, like a kind of distressed noises.
Right.
In the distance. But then there was one, it was like one or two times specifically that I heard this noise, which sounded like maybe like almost like a cow being attacked or something.
Mm-hmm.
But one or two times it legitimately sounded like an animal trying to struggling to form words.
Right.
Like it was trying to say something.
Mm-hmm. And it was like multiple, at least two, because we heard the sound from one area and then mm-hmm. it stopped. And then we heard the sound from a completely different area. Mm-hmm. And it was far enough apart where you know that it couldn't have traveled that quickly and been the same one.
Yeah. Like it was almost like back to back.
Yeah. Communicating.
So, yeah.
And it was around the same time, about like 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm. And eventually those sounds, I mean, they persisted, but they started getting further away.
Yeah, they did.
So they were definitely moving.
And maybe it was them communicating to each other about how many people or what they were seeing out there, and that they needed to get farther away from camp.
I mean, possibly it was enough to where it was such a sound with, you know, I enjoy the outdoors. Like I said, we grew up out in the country. Mm-hmm. You know, I love going camping, but these sounds, these noises were enough to make me nervous and put me on edge.
Right. Same.
Because I remember I actually stood up. I didn't want to be seated. Like, I wanted to be standing, mm-hmm. because I didn't know what was going to come of this.
And the second night, so the first night it was all three of us and we heard it. And the second night it was just you and I, because your wife had already gone to bed. Because again, I mean, it was late. She was up for the spirit box, but then after that, she decided to go to bed and you and I decided to stay up to see if we heard something around the same time. And we did. Yeah. And I think that's kind of like when we tried to imitate the yells, we did it a little too early in the night, I believe.
Yeah, because I think we were trying to do the yells and then do, because we're trying to, being that we didn't do an investigation the first night, we're trying to cram a couple investigations into one night.
Yeah, exactly. Because when we did the yells, we didn't get anything back. Like, mm-hmm. we didn't hear anything.
Yeah, which, I mean, technically that first yell we heard the first night was, you know, unprovoked. Like, you know, there was that, just that one yell and that was it.
It was it. And we heard that knocking sound too. And I mean, we did some research and found that Uari is like a big Bigfoot sighting place. A lot of people have heard similar things and even saw Bigfoot. There's even pictures in Uari.
Yeah, I think they actually sell like some like Bigfoot merchandise.
They do.
They call him like he was like you Harry or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you Harry, the Bigfoot in the area. So I know if we ever go back, I would like to go to the same camping spot because it feels like that was a good place to hear activity.
Well, I mean, aside from those strange noises we heard, we did also do a spirit box session.
We did. We did that earlier in the night.
Mm-hmm. Which turned out I did a simultaneous that I actually streamed from my Twitch, mm-hmm. which is you can find me at twitch.tv/phantomfox4, all mm-hmm. one word. But I streamed live on my phone for my followers to be able to see. And even my followers, like I was holding the spirit box and holding my phone, and like a good majority of the questions had clear responses. That even my Twitch chat were saying, it just said this.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we were hearing names, and the weird thing was it would repeat the same name several times.
It was pretty wild just how, because like I said, the first time we did that spirit box session, we just had that one instance, which I mean, like I said, we kind of cut it short because my wife was kind of freaked out about it.
Yeah.
She did much better the last time when we were there.
She did.
But I mean, even the small session we had previously, it was just that one moment where it said like spooky and then the dog started growling.
Mm-hmm.
But this was like clear and like very, very smart responses.
Right.
Because we would ask names, how many are in your group? And they would give us a number. We asked them, when we asked them names, they would give us names. We would ask, what are you doing here? How did you die? They would say drowning.
Yeah. And like when we couldn't quite hear a name, like we thought, I distinctly remember Paul. I remember them saying Paul. Mm-hmm. And I was like, did they say Paul? And they would say it again.
Yes. Like they would repeat themselves.
Yeah. So that we would understand completely what they were saying. And I know there was a woman too. Like it wasn't just him. There was also woman.
It was a few of them. That's what I led us to ask about if there was a group of them and how many. And I want to say it said like five.
Right. Yeah.
It was like, and it specifically said like five of us. It was something crazy like that. Cause it's like, and it was multiple people on my Twitch who would type in that same response. Like it just said this.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really good confirmation to, you know, one, hear it ourselves and being like, did it just say that? And to see it just pop up on my chat immediately saying it just said this.
Right. Yeah, that it was crazy.
It was probably probably the best spirit box session I've ever had.
Yeah. I'd never really experienced a spirit box, so I didn't know what to expect, and it really blew me away. Like, it was way more than I expected.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, like you said, like that one word, like, oh, we're just going to get one word out of something, and it's not going to really be an answer to a question. But they were very clear in their answers, and the answers were, you know, distinct to the question. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just us trying to make up stuff, you know?
So look forward to that, guys, because next time we do an investigation with a spirit box session, we're going to be recording it, and also we're going to be attempting to stream it live so that we can also get some live responses and feedback from, you know, people over a stream. So I think that's a good way to go.
I think so too. And I think we need to go to a paranormal hotspot almost, which I think you worry. Like I did get that message from, I don't know, I remember the girl who said that she went hiking in Uwari and it was just really thick feeling of something is paranormal out here. Like they felt like while they were hiking, there was just something that they couldn't quite put their finger on that was sense, there.
That uneasiness.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I mean, we're not the only ones. There's so many people that have had similar experiences, not just with Bigfoot, but just odd things happening. And we found out that, you know, a few people have actually went to Uwari to commit suicide, which is very creaky in itself. But like, why choose that area? You know, why are people drawn there? It's not as bad as the place in Japan where like everybody goes to commit suicide, you know, but just the fact that it's been multiple people go out there and they were declared missing and then found and they had, you know, killed themselves, which is very sad, but also very eerie that it didn't just happen once or twice. It's happened a few times. So, yeah. I want to go back to Uwari as soon as, you know, we can, so that we can continue this investigation with the spirit box, but also with Bigfoot. Like, I wouldn't mind, I really like our camping spot that we had, but I wouldn't mind trying a different spot as well to see what happens.
Yeah. Because I mean, if anything, if we choose a different camping spot to try and go to and investigate, we can always still return to our original campsite to maybe do a spirit box session.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, the camping spot did look like other people had used it too, right?
Yeah, because I think someone had actually tied orange markers around trees to lead them not only through the camp, but like further past it.
Yeah, that's true. And I did have another experience there that was not paranormal, but still very scary, where a skunk came into the camp.
I do remember this. I remember you. I thought you were gonna like draw it out more. Like, I was sleeping and I heard this noise.
Well, okay, I'll tell you the story. I was sleeping and I heard this noise.
Oh God!
So I heard something walking, and I was pretty sure it was an animal, but I couldn't quite tell how big it was. You know, like I'm thinking a possum, because I could, you know, hear that it was close by and kind of going through something.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how you can almost identify the size of things, the way they sound, just from how they move, like through the leaves and stuff like that.
And I mean, it went right by my tent where my head was, where my sleeping bag was positioned, and I got we carry some heat whenever we go places, because you never know. So I got my piece out, because I'm gangsta like that. And the tent has like a little, you know, the little zipper window where it has like mesh and you can look out. So I slowly unzipped it and looked out, and it was a skunk, and it was so close. And I mean, I think I was more scared during that than the Bigfoot possibility. at the spirit box because like you don't want to kill it because you know you don't want that smell, but you don't want to startle it. You don't. So I just zipped my little window back up as slowly as I could and laid down. I didn't go back to sleep. I waited until I heard it walking away. And then finally I could kind of breathe and go back to sleep.
Oh, creaky.
I know. I'm just glad that Kramer didn't hear it and started barking.
Make it freak out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it creaky or could it have been stinky?
It was a little bit of both, I think. It was stinky creaky.
But yeah, could have been bad. Could have stunk up the camp pretty good.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, and you know, unfortunately we did bring cameras. Well, I guess fortunately we brought cameras. Unfortunately, the footage that we got could not be used. There was a formatting issue with one of the cameras, so it wasn't able to be downloaded. I couldn't convert it into the right format that you needed to make the videos. So a lot of the stuff that we actually got on camera, like we got those sounds on camera that we heard.
So I think I remember specifically telling you to like boost the microphone sound because it was so far in the distance.
Right. A lot of stuff. So I brought two cameras. So we do have the equipment for next time and I'm ready because we did do a camping trip in the mountains close to our dad's house, but that was more like a celebration. I also got these like trail cameras set up, and it was more of like a testing thing to see how well they did. And they did really good. We didn't capture anything though. We didn't really do much of an investigation. It was freezing. So yeah,
it was pretty. What time of year was that? It was like early.
It was April. Because it was
April. It was oddly cold for.
It was. It like snowed a little bit, they said, while we were there. So all we were really worried about was staying near the fire and keep it warm.
Yeah.
But I mean, I didn't get any like weird feelings. We didn't really hear anything. Nah, you know what I mean?
That place didn't really have one a feeling or any type of odd things that happen that make you wonder, like, oh, what was that?
Right. And with my trail camera set up, I didn't even capture an animal walking by, you know. It was pretty quiet there. But I would still like to go on another camping trip there. And, you know, you never know, like, what we could conjure up with the spirit box. We were listening to a podcast on the way home where it talked about a woman having a Bigfoot experience really nearby where we were. So, I mean, I don't know if, you know, Bigfoot usually wants to come out closer in the fall, or I don't know if they hibernate. I don't know how that works, but
yeah. Well, I mean, we always have that theory that, you know, things happen, that there's more common occurrences just based off of, you know, our experiences with the gray white monkey bat. That generally fall or the end of the year is for some reason has higher activity.
That October, November area, because I mean, when we went camping, I don't know if we mentioned this, it was in October.
And we had a ton of activity.
A lot. And we did the episode on the Brown Mountain Lights, and that usually happens around October. And that's in the mountains of North Carolina too.
And then we had thought about to our experiences with the great white monkey bat, you know, and the time frame for those. And I want to say mine was kind of late September, mid to late September.
Yeah. Yeah, mine was October. I guess beginning of November, because it was right after Halloween. So the very beginning of November, like the day after.
So if you have, I mean, it doesn't have to be at the end of the year. If you've had any type of, you know, odd experiences out, you know, camping in the wild, paranormal, extraterrestrial, you know, let us know about it, but also give us a time frame.
Yeah.
Because it'd be interesting to kind of see, like, you know, what kind of time frame these experiences fall in.
And it makes you think of why Halloween is around the time that it is.
Well, also, I think it has to maybe do with the temperature changes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my theory.
That's true. I think maybe it's just a good time for paranormal activity, just in general.
I mean, it's the temperature changes, the leaves are falling off the trees, you know, things is kind of, it's almost like the life is leaving nature itself.
Yeah. And I mean, it's easier to hear things when the trees are more bare and there's leaves on the ground and you can hear footsteps. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we talk about our great white monkey bat experience. If you've never heard that, we do have an episode on that. It's called Mothman Sightings in North Carolina, aka the Great White Monkey Bat. So definitely listen to that episode because it's a pretty good one. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you were telling the story about somebody walking into camp and you heard the footsteps, but then when you went out there, nobody was there. They couldn't have ran away. You didn't hear them walk away. Mm-hmm. What if it was something with wings?
I mean, it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the area that we saw the great white monkey bat, aka possibly the Mothman, was more north, closer to like Virginia, and where we were in Uwari was more south of there. Mm-hmm. Not too far, maybe 2 hours south of where we saw it. But I mean, we don't know where this thing, how far it can travel, because there's been Mothman sightings all across the United States.
Well, I also like to think that, you know, one, my eyesight is not the best.
Yeah.
You know, I have pretty bad eyesight. So my hearing is pretty good. I depend on my hearing a lot more than most people.
Right.
And so when I hear stuff, and especially hearing what sounded like those footsteps walking past the tent, you know, I could almost picture in my mind, you know, the size of a person with that, you know, that size of a gait, because as they're passing the tent, you hear, you know, a footstep here, footstep there. So, you know, to me in my head, you know, this is a person walking into camp. This is a person, you know, maybe my height, maybe a little shorter, and then just walking into our camp. You know, my brain put that together from just what I was hearing.
Right. And you didn't see any like footprints.
No, I mean, nothing was disturbed. I mean, looking around, I mean, you couldn't really tell with like footprints or anything because, you know, the ground was covered in leaves. Mm-hmm. So there's really no, you know, impressions or anything, and like mud or dirt, it wasn't really wet or anything out there. So it was just leaves. Hmm. I think the only area we didn't have leaves around was, you know, we cleared out the leaves around the campfire, of course.
Right. And I mean, other than feeling like, I wouldn't say scared, but like on high alert that somebody's walking into your camp and you might have mm-hmm. to go head to head. Did you have any other weird feelings, like just eerie, odd?
I didn't. I think it was more of, it wasn't like eerie, odd. I mean, of course, coming out of the tent and seeing no one there is what put me kind of in an eerie, odd state where it's like, well, you know, what did we just hear?
Right. Yeah.
Because it was more of my, I guess, protective. This like my protective nature kicking in of, you know, someone's in our camp, I need to go confront them right now and, you know, mm-hmm. force them to leave.
Right.
Because I mean thinking back, you know, I woke up, that happened, that's my impulse, my instinct is to, you know, I need to, you know, protect my family from, you know, whatever this or whoever this is. Originally, you know, it was whoever this is.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's kind of odd now thinking of, you know, whatever that was.
And you know, your wife heard it too. It wasn't just you. No, and it wasn't the dog.
And the dog woke up from it too. Mm-hmm. Which I mean, oddly enough, he didn't have the same reaction he would when, say, like hearing something outside the house.
Yeah.
Like no one even has to knock on a door. If the mailman pulls up and comes walking out and he can hear him moving and shuffling or putting a package down the front porch,
mm-hmm.
he'll start barking.
Crazy. Yeah. My dog's same way.
Oddly enough, like he heard this noise and he got up from it, but there is no reaction from him. And I wonder if he was more confused about what it was because maybe from what he heard, like he couldn't identify himself.
Right. And I mean, plus you're not in your house either. You're kind of in a different area. So maybe I don't know.
And you're like Jesse and her husband were there, you know, he maybe could have just assumed that it was one of them because they constantly, right. you know, are moving outside the tent when we're getting ready, they're out there talking and moving before they go into their tent.
That's true. I mean, when we, the second day that we were there, we went and took our nap. I got up before y'all did and started making the fire and everything. And I know the dog heard me, but he wasn't growling or barking because, like you said, I mean, he just assumed it was me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like fine, like in the tent,
right?
And with someone, like he doesn't. I don't know, it's kind of odd.
Yeah.
I mean, it was enough for him to actually get up with us and still be alert, but not enough to make him kind of, you know, growl or bark really.
And I did notice, like, while we were in camp, whenever somebody would walk along the trail, if he saw them, he would kind of,
He would start huffing and puffing his little,
yeah.
And I would ag him on after that. If he would actually see someone or hear someone and spot them on the trail, he would start huffing. And then I would give him a bark by doing the, you know, who is that?
Right.
Who is that?
You want people to know we got a big dog over here. Yeah. You better not fuck with us. Yeah. I know if we go camping, I feel better with Kramer with us.
Yeah. Having that extra like guard dog there.
Yeah. And I like Kramer. I felt like he liked me too.
Yeah, he did like you. You went off to use the bathroom one time. He kept watch on you. Yeah. He seemed very concerned about where you were going.
He's a good dog.
Yeah, good dog.
So
he's
I do.
Good. He's a good sized dog too.
Right. He is. I mean, he could take somebody down.
Oh, he's like a boxer mix or something like that. Boxer lab, boxer. I mean, he's very lengthy.
I feel like he's got some Great Dane in him.
That's what I think the vet's office said, is they think boxer Great Dane.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
How do you think he would react if a Bigfoot came into our camp and he saw it?
I honestly think he would bark and growl, but I think he'd be terrified.
Right.
I think he would.
In my mind, I'm picturing like it's a Harry from Harry and the Hendersons type, and him and Kramer bond.
Yeah, like they get along like immediately.
Yeah, like they him and the dog.
Don't they say like there's like the whole like theory and rumors that Bigfoots have like this tie in with nature and creatures and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I want to feel like Bigfoot is like Harry on Harry and the Hendersons. And, you know, he got sad seeing all the dead animals the guy had hunted, you know. Mm-hmm. And like he just, because like they're vegetarians, right? Or I don't know. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. I mean, there's different theories on Bigfoot's diet, whether they're vegetarians, but there's also like, you know, the animals they find that are mutilated with like their like the very soft organs removed, you know, we talked about that before.
Oh yeah we have. I don't know.
I mean, they could be omnivores. There could be some that prefer, you know, a vegetarian diet, and there's some mm-hmm. that maybe prefer both.
I mean, they could be like us where we don't eat all kinds of animals, we just eat certain ones. Mm-hmm. You know.
And then there are some type of people that, you know, are vegans, vegetarians, you know, they don't eat meat at all.
Right. I don't know, but I want to know. I want to know more.
And we will know more.
And I just have a feeling that Bigfoot is not a scary type of being, you know, like maybe, I mean, I probably would be terrified if I saw one, but I don't think it would be threatening. I think they're more, they don't want you to harm them. So it's more maybe a territorial thing with them.
I'm on the fence about it because, I mean, although I would like to believe that, mm-hmm. you know, from at least a lot of stories I've heard is one, they are territorial, but they can also be, you know, very, very violent. They can, you know, the throwing of large objects that could actually, you know, really, really physically hurt you.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I mean, there's also the nice story. So, I mean, it could be right. based on personality.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, maybe the women are more violent. The men are the males, I guess.
I mean, how do we know there's male and female? There could be, you know, just like omnisex or something like that.
I don't know. I want to think there's some human aspect to them. I don't know why, but I want to.
That they're pretty close and like related to, yeah, humans, apes.
Yeah, like in that genome, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I would still love to do some more investigating on Bigfoot. Bigfoot's always kind of caught my attention. I really want to learn more. And I know you like Bigfoot too.
Oh yeah. I mean, who doesn't like Bigfoot?
Right. Right.
Who's going to be like, nah, I hate Bigfoot.
Oh, I remember a story. It was like a funny thing we talked about one time. We were watching a Bigfoot show and you were talking about them doing like the Bigfoot screams.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can barely remember it. They were like in a house or something.
Oh, wait, are you talking about the neighbors?
Yes, the neighbors.
Okay. if Bigfoot was really in meta, he just lived out like in a weird like cabin made out of like sticks and mud in the woods.
Yeah.
And he invites you into your hole and you're just walking by like the kitchen sink where he like does his little mud dishes. And you just hear the distance like, he sticks his head out the window and goes, he's like, oh, Steve, my neighbor. And that's what the screams are. It's just the neighboring Bigfoots yelling at each other.
Right. That's what I think.
Yeah, that's how you picture them, is just these friendly guys who are just yelling to their neighbors.
Yes. And that's what happened while we were in Uwari.
And that's obviously what happened. And his neighbor was obviously already fallen asleep. And couldn't come out that night.
Yeah. And his wife was mad at him because he got drunk the night before. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Oh, okay. So, have you encountered Bigfoot? Do you have any Bigfoot stories, or, you know, maybe you've heard some things?
Oh, were you asking me? Have you seen Bigfoot? I'm like, no, I was with you. You didn't see anything.
No, creaky listeners. Is that better?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. If you've encountered Bigfoot, or maybe you've been camping and heard things similar to what we were talking about, even if you've heard things not similar, but just weird and out there, we want to hear. We want to know where you were, what time of year specifically. That's a good thing, Brooks. I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
Where you were, what time of year, and what you heard, and what you think it could have been. I mean, the more description you can give us, the better. And of course, if you don't mind us sharing on air, we can keep you anonymous. We can share your name, whatever you want to do. We will definitely carry out your wishes. But yeah, I mean, any kind of camping stories, we would love to hear if you experienced anything, you know, out of the ordinary. I've heard so many camping stories where they just experienced weird things, like our last episode where we were talking about Glimmer Man. Most of those things are out in the woods. So I just feel like camping is like the most opportune, you know, time to experience crazy stuff.
It really is. I mean, you're spending like extended periods of time out there in the wilderness where, you know, humans really aren't a whole lot of time.
Right. Exactly. So let us know. We want to hear from you, and make sure that you share our podcast so that more people can hear about it and we can get more stories to share with you and more investigations.
Spread the word, start the conversation. Let's get it out there and get people talking and feeling a little more open, whether they want to remain anonymous or not.
Right.
But being a little more open about sharing their experience about what happened to them, which may motivate more people to come forward and share their experiences.
Right. And the more data we have, the better our investigations can be. And you never know what we might uncover. Mm-hmm. The more we have, the better it'll be. And we definitely want to produce some really good content for you guys. We want to upload videos on our YouTube channel, which is in the making. So any kind of, you know, recommendations you can have for us of places to go specifically, you know, in North Carolina, South Carolina, close by us, because I mean, we're not nationwide yet, but just wait, we will be. I have no doubt about it. What about you?
Worldwide.
Yeah. So yeah. Follow us on Instagram, hashtag creaky, Twitter, hashtag creaky. We're on Facebook. We're everywhere. Yeah. Hashtag creaky. You'll find us. Trust me. And until next time, keep it creaky.